So welcome everyone to Parshas Shoftim. It's 5766 for one more month. So I want to wish everybody also a good Chodesh, a good month. This is the last month of the year, Elul, which is typically viewed as the preparation time for the new year. So Elul is really the transition between the old and the new. And today is the first day of Elul, so it's a momentous day. This is a day that everybody feels the onset of the high holiday season, or at least it's getting close. It's a time for great introspection and also a time of feeling great closeness to Hashem. The name Elul in Hebrew is comprised of the four letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. And of course Hebrew words have many different meanings, but one of the famous explanations is that Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed are the first letters of a four-word phrase, Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Many couples put that on their wedding invitation or even on the wedding band, but we use it in this context between God and Israel, because the truth is that the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is inseparable, and it is only the appearance that we have grown distant from Him because we lose track of who we are, where we're going, and it is our job during this month to recapture that closeness and to rekindle the relationship that perhaps has fallen a little bit to the wayside, so that when Rosh Hashanah comes, we realize who we are, we realize the great nation that we have been blessed to be. So Parshas Shoftim, which very, very often occurs during the beginning of this month, is a parsha which has, in my observation, a very, very clear and definitive theme to it. I was actually reviewing my notes from 3 years ago, 2003, and according to the notes, all the mitzvot that are recounted in Shoftim are very, very focused on one central theme, and that is communal institutions. And I don't mean a school and a shul only. But what I mean is mitzvos that keep the Jewish community and the Jewish civilization on the proper path. 3 years ago, we went through a list of every mitzvah in the parsha, and from that list, we all agreed, and there was consensus, that these are all communal mitzvos. For example, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol shiorecha, judges and officers you shall appoint in your cities, which is clearly a communal thing, communally established courts. There are mitzvahs for every individual, and Parshas Re'eh, the previous parsha, dealt a lot with those. When you get into Shoftim, it's pretty clear that these are mitzvahs that are not for the individual, but they are for the community to create a strong infrastructure and the structure within which we live and thrive according to the Torah. We went on to say further that what are the nature of these laws? What is the character of the Jewish community? In other words, whenever you're establishing something, you're building a community, you're building a school, you're building an organization, you have certain ideals that your organization stands for. Let's say Boy Scouts, right? What are the ideals of the Boy Scouts? Anybody know?
Be prepared.
Be prepared. What is their
honesty?
What are they here for? To promote honesty. Okay, what else?
Courteous.
Loyalty.
Courteous.
Courteous, kind.
Obedient.
Service.
God
fearing.
I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country.
Right.
Very good.
To
be good and to obey the law of the pack. Right? Very good. So every organization has its ideals. What are the ideals of the Jewish community? It's a good question. So the conclusion, and I'm really just repeating what we discussed then, we found an interesting teaching from the oral tradition. It was actually called Avos de Rabbi Nassan, chapter 43, and it's based on a verse in Tehillim, Psalms. It says that the divine throne, the throne of glory, which is a reference to God's abode, has four legs to the divine throne. The four legs are tzedek, righteousness, Mishpat, justice, chesed, kindness, and emes, truth. And based on the verse in Tehillim which says, Tzedek u'mishpat nechon kis'echa, chesed ve'emes yikadmu fanecha. Righteousness and justice is the foundation of your throne, and kindness and truth come before you. That's a loose translation. So the conclusion of our little discussion back in 2003 was that these are the four ideals of the divine chariot, and they are also the four ideals of the Jewish establishment here on earth. And that what we're doing when we're creating a Jewish establishment is we are replicating in the human form the same attributes, the same institution, so to speak, as that which is God's own throne. In other words, what we're doing down here is we're creating a godly society. What are the ideals of that godly society? The same ideals that emanate from God Himself, namely these four. Tzedek, Mishpat, Chesed, and Emes. Righteousness, justice, kindness, and truth. And our observation was that every single mitzvah in Parshas Shoftim promotes one of these, or more, a multiple of these four ideals. Just as an example, we're not going to go through every single one, but just to give one or two examples for each. Tzedek, righteousness. I will define righteousness as, very, very simply, doing what is right and good. And I know that needs definition, but somehow we can relate to that concept. Being good, doing what's right. For example, there is a mitzvah in this week's Parsha, chapter 19, verse 14. The mitzvah is called Hasagas Gevul. It says, Lo sasi gevul re'acha sher gavlu rishonim benachlascha sher tinchal ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha l'rishta. You shall not move a boundary of your fellow, which the early ones marked out, in your inheritance that you shall inherit in the land that Hashem your God gives you to possess. Okay, when the Jews entered the land under Yahushua's leadership, they made initial territorial divisions. Everybody, every family had their land. And the mitzvah here is don't play around, no hanky-panky with the border markers. Okay, do what's right. That's an example of tzedek. Another example of tzedek, again, this is my own application or my own match-up between these four ideals and the various mitzvahs. You could match them up any way you would like. To me, these were logical examples. We all have heard of the concept of the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge. Now, what is exactly a city of refuge? It's a city in the land of Israel designated as a place of safety. If a man unintentionally causes a death, a wrongful death of another individual, unintentionally, he is not considered a murderer, he is not deserving of the death penalty, and certainly not without a proper trial. But the relatives of the victim are very likely to be possessed by an anger and a passion and go after that person and try to avenge the death and kill him. And so the Torah says that would be unfair, that would be unjust, and therefore run to the city and make sure that that person is safe from the avenger, the Goel Hadam, the avenger of the blood. An example of tzedek, of the Torah institutes laws which keep society just and right, and not just a free-for-all. Mishpat. Mishpat, let's call justice. To me, mishpat means enforcement of the laws. Okay, we have these laws which are righteous laws. We also need to enforce them. Very often people are not going to adhere to them. People are going to take liberties. And so as the Torah says, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha, appoint courts, not only courts, but officers to enforce the decisions of the courts. And sometimes punishment has to be given. In one verse, the Torah says, if somebody has done something which is deserving of the death penalty, the Torah says, give the death penalty. Do to them what they deserve. Uviyarta hara mikirbecha, and thus eradicate evil from your midst. Because if you don't administer justice, then everyone's going to take advantage, and then the society will turn evil. Tahanisharim yishmu v'yiro, let those that remain behind take heed and fear. V'lo yosifu lasos od, and nobody will do this again. Kadavar hara hazeh bekirbecha, like this evil thing. You got one person, he decided to take liberties, he decided to break the fence, he's got to get a consequence, otherwise the next guy's going to do it. And then the next guy, and then before you know it, there's no justice in the society. So, tzedek, do what's right, and then mishpat, enforce that, and do not allow evil to linger. But there's also the ideal of chesed at the same time. Who doesn't know that chesed, kindness, is a hallmark of the Jewish people? Who doesn't know that that's one of the pillars of the world, the three pillars that hold up the world, Torah and Avodah, service and gemilus chasadim, and acts of loving kindness? Where else other than the Torah do you have a law? Chapter 20, verse 10, page 1040. I don't know of any international law that says, maybe I'm wrong, when you draw near to a city to wage war against it, you shall call out to it for peace. You're not allowed to attack. There is some debate as to which nations this applies to. Does it even apply to the seven Canaanite nations or not? That's a question amongst the commentators. But there is definitely a mitzvah here to be peaceful, even with foreign nations. Another example of chesed, which is a little bit obscure, but it says in the end of the parsha that if a fortunate victim is found slain in between two cities, nobody knows how he got killed. It is the responsibility of the court, the rabbinical court of the closest city, to go down there and to take responsibility for what happened and to make the following declaration: our hands have not spilled this blood. Our eyes did not see. In other words, we were not aware that this took place. And Rashi cites the Talmud that says the words "our hands have not spilled this blood" is very presumptuous to say for the elders of the city to have to make that declaration. We didn't do it. Of course they didn't do it. Rabbis would not go around and kill somebody, hopefully. So Rashi says, quoting the Talmud, what they're declaring is, we didn't even see this man, nor did we let him leave our city without proper food, without escort. Had we known that he was here, we certainly would have escorted him. We would have taken care of the wayfarer. We certainly would have done our best to keep him safe, because he is a guest in our city. And as soon as somebody enters our city, we take responsibility. This man must have snuck in at night, or he did not come through the main doors. We missed him, and that's why this happened. Otherwise, we would have done everything possible to care for him. This is chesed. This is caring for the traveler, for the visitor. Quite the opposite of the nation of Sodom, who would never tend to a visitor. They would be cruel to a visitor. They would say, this is our territory. You shouldn't be here. So again, an obscure but an example of chesed woven within the institutions of the Jewish society. Yes?
What would happen if you get the people from the city and somebody says, oh, I recognize that guy, he visited us or whatever, then do they take certain responsibility for what happened or what?
You mean they happen to know who he is, or they saw him in the city? Just because they say, I know him, that doesn't make them responsible. If somebody were to say, yeah, I saw that he was in our city, but we didn't really offer him any lodging or any food or any protection, then it's not murder, obviously.
No, I was just wondering.
But ethically, there would be somewhat of a blame, especially the city leaders. It's their responsibility to make sure that that's set up, that we have a structure, home hospitality. That's right. When people come to our community, they're taken care of. Dr. Fisher will seek them out at shul and invite them.
This weekend. I don't know them.
So just an example of how chesed is not just something nice to do, but it's built into the fabric of our society. And then finally, emes, truth. Emes is also one of the three pillars in a different statement in Pirkei Avos. We have in the Torah the mitzvah of accepting Nevi'im, prophets, but only if they are true prophets. But if we have certain tests and we can figure out that they're lying, that they're testifying falsely, and they're prophesying falsely in the name of God, then we kill them. Because we cannot tolerate lack of emes. And also the process of accepting witnesses in Beis Din, in the court, is they're scrutinized, We can only accept two witnesses, not one witness. We must examine them very carefully to make sure that there is no untruth, no falsehood in our courts. So there's plenty of examples within this parsha. All of these mitzvos are related to building up the proper Jewish society, and they all are centered around these four ideals: tzedek, mishpat, chesed, and emes. So until now, all I've done is I've reviewed with you the class from 3 years ago. But this is a new year. So we have to add to this. We have to shed some new light on this. And those of you who were here last week, we had a kind of a cram session. It was the first time we met for 4 weeks. And we had started the book of Devarim. And so what we did is we proposed an approach the book of Devarim, Sefer Devarim. Anybody remember what was the theme of Devarim?
Looking at your past.
Okay, looking at your past. Because remember, Devarim is called Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means it's a review. It's a review of the Torah. And Moshe is the speaker. It is a monologue. Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people in the book of Devarim. There's not really anything new, no new action. Moshe is sitting and recounting things. He's retelling mitzvahs that we've learned before. He is giving us words of chastisement for the events of the past, such as the golden calf and the spies. And it's a review. And we learn from Devarim that we have to review. We have to go through our past. We have to introspect and do an instant replay and say, how did we do that? What were our actions in the past? What were our motives? Are we still on the straight path? Do we know where we're going? Do we know what our mission statement is? These are some of the ideas brought out by the Parshios in Devarim. Do we recognize that we have made mistakes and we need to correct them? Yes. Do we know what our mission statement is? Yes. Do we have the right attitudes, or have we fallen into bad attitudes? That was Akev. And do we remember what the mitzvos are? Are we sure we understand the mitzvahs? Are we doing the mitzvahs? All of that is the process of review, introspection, where we say in the writings, cheshbon ha-nefesh, an accounting for the soul. You can't just keep on going and going and going and not look back. You can't just put blinders on and just go from day to day. You have to review, you have to reflect, you have to question. You have to question ourselves. Well, if that is the subject of Devarim, if Devarim is review, if Devarim is introspection, if Devarim is Cheshbon HaNefesh, then it would seem that the next step in that Cheshbon HaNefesh, in that accounting, which is Parshas Shoftim, would be a communal introspection, where individuals from the community leaders, those who care about the community, those who are invested in the community, will sit down alone or together with friends or in a community meeting or in whatever framework would be, and sit down this time of year, Devarim is always before Rosh Hashanah, sit down and say, let's review our community. Let us ask ourselves, is our community built on the four legs of Hashem's throne? Are our ideals, do our schools, shuls, homes, community institutions, are they founded on the principles of tzedek, righteousness, mishpat, justice, chesed, kindness, and emes, truth? And formulate questions, soul-searching questions. And they may not be comfortable, because sometimes we may not like the answers. But that is the message of Shoftim. We have to review, and now we have to review our community. Tzedek, or the foundations of our community, to do that which is good and right in Hashem's eyes. Mishpat, do we have built-in ways to protect the ideals? Do we have the mishpat? Do we have the enforcement that we need? Somebody's going to come along and say, we have different ideals. We want to challenge them, and we want to institute this, that, and the other. After all, especially here, we live in a democracy. Anything goes. Is our community equipped to keep out those influences? We can't afford just to say anything goes because this is a democracy and we just have to live with it. We have to protect the invisible walls of our community. We have to have mishpat. We may not be able to adjudicate people and give them the death penalty. We just can't do that. We're not authorized. But we can still be outspoken and we can protect the ideals that we stand for. As said, in building our institutions is our intent to bring goodness to others, to enable others to serve Hashem, to have the wherewithal. Are we attentive to people's needs? Are we there to assist? Or, chas v'shalom, are we only there to rule and to make guidelines that people have to live up to, or else? Are we also having an attentive ear for chesed? This is a question that the community has to ask itself. And emes, are we living for truth? Are we willing to challenge ourselves? Do we take the time and the honesty to ask ourselves honest questions and be willing to align what we're doing to the truth, both in terms of our activities and in terms of our intention? Do we stop a minute and say, are our goals and our intentions in line with the Torah ideals? So we don't have much to add, but really just to put the Shoftim Parsha into the context of the Sefer Devarim, as we have discovered, perhaps, is the process of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Until now, we've been working on the personal things, well, both personal and communal, and here we're going into the arena of communal institutions, which are dealt with in Shoftim, and we have to do a Cheshbon HaNefesh as a community to make sure that our ideals are aligned with the ideals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's community, the four legs of the stool, the throne, Tzedek, Mishpat, Chesed, and Emes. That's all. Sure.
With the court, you know, I mean, there were certain death penalties for certain things that people did, and then there were other things. But was there ever a prison system? How did you deal with people?
Well, not really prison, because indeed, either it has a punishment or it doesn't. The punishment is going to either be death or lashes, and there may be no punishment at all. In fact, it is against the Jewish law to keep a person detained while they're waiting for their trial. And once the trial is held, it's prohibited for the judges to sit and stretch out the deliberation. There's really no punishment that says you are to be detained in a detention center for a period of time. We mentioned the cities of refuge. Sometimes the person has to stay in the city of refuge for a long, long time. But it's not a prison.
Right.
He is confined and he can't leave, but it's not really a prison. In fact, it's a very beautiful city. He lives among the Kohanim and the Levim, and that's supposed to make him like a better person. There is a concept of a kela. There is a very, very localized detention place.
Rabbi, yeah. And the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. Is it implicit in that except in these situations?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, many people say that's a bad translation, thou shalt not kill.
Uh-huh.
It's thou shalt not murder. Sometimes killing is a mitzvah.
Okay.
And when it's a mitzvah, it's obviously not breaking the Ten Commandments. Yeah, the word lo tirtzach is murder. That's correct.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What's the exact difference between mishpat and din? Is one the enforcement of justice?
Well, din was not one of the four.
I know.
But there are two terms.
Also translated as justice.
Right. I don't know. I don't know of a difference. Din might, it may have different contexts. Din may be the actual, what is the din? What is the actual judgment? What is the verdict? And mishpat is, in general, upholding and enforcing justice. That's it. Yashar Koch, good Shabbos, good Chodesh.